Good evening. You're listening to Perpetual Notion Machine, and I am joined by
Kai Brito.
My name's Case Wheatley.
And we have a special other guest in the studio tonight.
Speaking to the mic, bud.
Oh, this is John.
Thanks.
Yeah, and so tonight it was my show, and there's some technical difficulties, so I'm unable to play it, and it hasn't downloaded yet, so my apologies for that. But the topic of conversation was techno-orientalism. What is that, you might ask? Actually, I don't even know if people in the studio, do you have an idea of what this technical term is?
What does the Orientalism refer to specifically?
Oh, actually, so it's actually really interesting. So Edward Said, it's this guy who came up with the notion of Orientalism, the Orient, so that refers to, like, place it, like, I guess, like, east of Europe. So, like, the Middle East is included, South Asia, India, and as well as East Asia is what we mostly think of when we think of techno-orientalism. And the techno part actually specifically originated with Japan. So, economic rivalry, and that was where the technology part comes in, how, like, the money development with that. So, it's extended sense to, like, Vietnam and North Korea. Think about the technology war we're in with them right now and the nuclear buttons. So, it gets really interesting and really comprehensive.
And there's something about Orientalism with, like, creating the other. Like, we cannot be the same. They are different. There's, like, eroticizing...
Well, that's, yes.
Otherizing.
And that's where the interesting thing comes in. It's techno-orientalism with robots. And there was this fembot. So it's named Aiko, and it's a female. And a lot of what, it's this Japanese robot. You've heard of it?
Hold on. No, I have a question about what makes a robot female.
The designers decided it was female.
Oh.
So, yeah.
You don't say.
It was the designer, so it's the intention, and the whole idea of this program was supposed to be how is it the way that we develop technology, and how does that reflect the way we see, you know, ourselves in society, as well as how do you view other people?
Of course.
Yeah. So just with that, I mean, is it gendered woman, or is it, like, you know, sexually, is it female? Like, does it have lady bits, or, like, we just projecting, like, it has long hair?
It does have long hair.
Certain, like, features.
Does have facial features to resemble a female. The programmer of that specific robot said that he got a lot of inspiration from anime.
Wow.
So, yeah, anime manga. So that's where the inspiration for that robot comes from.
So it's not even from, like, RL, real life.
Well,
it's from, like, a cartoon, like, imagined version of real life. That's how we're basing robots.
It does reflect some aspects of human beings because, you know, human beings are going to be the ones to interact with it. So it does have, like, those real features. And the interesting thing about it, like, the whole voice track that he's programmed onto it are like, hey, stop, don't touch me. And then, like, I don't know, the idea at this, like they were doing this tech a demo about it, and people, like, they heard her saying, like, hey, stop, don't touch me, and they, like, kept touching her to see other responses they have. And the idea that the professor I talked to about it was, it's like, you know, you're having this robot say, you know, like, stop, don't touch me, and then you're ignoring it because it's a robot.
Yeah.
Then you're also, like, projecting this ethnicity and gender onto it, and, like, what does that say about the stereotypes about not listening to what you know, a female says, and then not, you know, like, giving complying with that, like, very simple request of not invading someone's space.
So there's an element of consent to it.
And, like, yeah, but it's just a robot.
Can robots consent? Is that something that, you know?
Well, I think
in the coming years should be thinking about. As well?
I think the more interesting idea is the fact that we're putting aspects of, like, a person, a race, and a gender, and we're reinforcing the stereotype that you can, you know, violate that consent because of, you know, what race they are, what gender they are.
So maybe a little context. Where is this research, or where is this production of this robot going on?
So this robot is Japanese, but, you know, there's other robots that do exist. throughout other areas, but Japan's actually been a big developer for AI and robotics and movement of people. I think just at this like gaming convention this year, they released more robots and drones and other things like that. So this isn't, but this is one example of like other robots that are female. So it's representative. Yes.
Is there a fear? So I've heard part of the robot conversation. Maybe it's not part of this, but robots like taking people's jobs. Should we be worried about this Japanese lady robot of taking someone's job? Or
I don't think this specific robot is really tailored to take anyone's job yet, other than through like information finding and gathering. But you could have a whole other conversation about like driverless cars and the that industry of like taxi cabs and metro buses and those people being out of business. But this robot specifically is not at least being marketed at the moment to really replace anyone's in the job sectors.
Gotcha. I just came from a conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
We were talking about robots in the dairy industry.
Yeah.
Milking cows.
Milking robots. Ooh. But that's an aside.
So I have a question about how this relates specifically to the concept of Orientalism.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is this a reflection on how people from these countries, from this background, how they view robotics and AI and sort of, I guess like others, as opposed to like maybe a more westernized conceptualization of what robots are and what role they occupy? Could you talk a little bit about the difference?
Yeah, so I think a best way to think about it is an example. So have you ever seen those little like Tamagotchi pets? Like that's digital world. But then you see things like robo dogs, right? And there's these little like cutesy things. And I don't know. Oh, you can even think of another Disney special that came out, like Baymax from Big Hero 6. And these robots, like they don't really come with a human figure. If anything, they actually come with more like docile and cutesy and like big round. You know, they're meant to entertain and enjoy, but they don't reflect human beings, right? The whole point is supposed to snuggle them, or Master of None, that like snuggle seal. You know, it's supposed to. Okay, all these examples, none of them hit.
I didn't watch season 2.
Yeah, so you're supposed to use these like for comfort and enjoyment, but then there are these robots that are out there, and you're supposed to, you know, the way that they're presented in media a lot, like in the HBO series Humans, or in Cloud Atlas even, these androids or robots are meant, or something meant to be feared. So I think it says a lot to what the function of the robot is and how we're supposed to view it. I think there's a certain intention behind that.
So whereas the West would sort of shy away from creating, endowing personhood onto a robot, it's more of a functional sort of thing.
Yeah, and I can't say for sure, but that seems to be what I've been seeing from the research I did and the people I talked to. So, yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, so in thinking about AI, I guess the question here is, we're at the point now where we can build pretty articulate bodies. You know, we're at the point where we can create these machines, but as far as what would give it sort of intelligence or agency or free will, I think AI has yet to catch up, even though, you know, there's some very intelligent chatbots out there. There's a lot of programs, you know, or applications that are very smart seeming, but AI hasn't really caught up quite to the body design. Is that kind of correct? Or
Yeah, from what I've seen, the mobility just isn't quite there.
Oh, yeah.
It's still kind of, I don't know, blobby, blocky.
Taking it one step at a time.
Oh, that's how they do it. But there was another question there. And the question was, are they human features yet? So I think there's this term that she used called the uncanny valley.
Yeah.
Right. You know. The point where we get so resemblant to, the AI gets so resemblant to human beings that it's like hard to distinguish between the two of them. And it doesn't seem from the point we're at right now, we're not there. It's almost like science fiction versus science reality. Are we there yet? Not quite. It's definitely within the scope of us seeing it, though.
There's some creepy looking robots.
Oh, yeah.
I recall there was another Japanese made robot that was meant to resemble a newscaster. That was very, very disconcerting to me. It's just, yeah, I mean, they look some, in a lot of ways, corpse-like. inanimate. I mean, an approximation of a human to the point where, you know, our psychology just that we're kind of has evolved over millions of years.
But you know something's wrong still, right? You look at it and you just have this like feeling of unease.
Is it possible to, at what point do we overcome that? Or do you see this as being sort of a cultural acceptance where at some point it won't be creepy to us? It'll just be, oh, you know, it's just, it'll be an othering of some other kind, but not this sort of fear, I guess, that we might have towards robots now. Do you see that it's going to be a natural progression of robotics?
I mean, it could be. It depends how we take it. But then what if that natural progression takes the shape of where we start putting robots into, so like Case talked about, like putting robots into the workforce. What if we start reflecting that and having like certain robots that have certain skin types doing certain tasks? And then you can get you might have someone theorize like the idea, like what if you start using, you know, black bodied robots to start working in the agriculture industry? You know, like what purpose does that serve, and what sort of stereotypes does that enforce or reinforce into the way we think about, you know, not just robots now, but also people? So it's like that's another form of like, what jobs are they set to do, and how did we engineer them that way?
Mm. Yeah, and there's I'm sorry, I forget where I heard it from, but there's this idea that when AI was developing, before we had a computer program that could beat the best chess masters, for example, right? That was a big accomplishment. That was seen as a big step forward. But there was this idea that if you were to create a program capable of beating a human, that that program could choose not to play chess at all. So at some point, you create intelligence with choice. I mean, that kind of, you know, like, oh, the logical thing to do would be to not play this opponent because they can't be beat, or something to that effect, you know. So at what point do we start giving choice to these robots? You know, if we're starting now with kind of prototypes where it's like, oh, well, they're not intelligent, they're just built for these tasks, they don't really have a lot of say, obviously, in what they're doing, at what point and what can we do to prepare for the inevitability of offering consent and choice to AI and to embodied robots?
Let's see. Sorry, that I don't think a report when I was working, I didn't really go there. But
you did start with consent.
That's true, actually.
it all starts with consent.
But he actually didn't give her any choice because those were like scripted responses. Mm-hmm. So like he like engineered a situation in which those events were very likely to occur. So like there was some control over that. And the Regis, the robot, does know what to say, because the interesting thing about that is that he like put pain sensors inside the robot meant to simulate pain, mm-hmm. and to understand when it was feeling pain. Mm-hmm. So then I guess from the list of responses, then it, you know, it brings about certain voice tracks that it can put out there. So choice in the matter. I don't know. In some ways it could be really nice, because then we have their, like, you know, little helpers to do things for us and increase efficiency throughout the day. But it, you know, other than that, I could see how it could be scary.
Can I jump in? Really?
Yes, please.
So there's the origin of the word robot. Mm. It's from a science fiction novel written by a Czech author in the 20s. And in Czech, as in the Czechoslovakian language, mm-hmm. Robot actually means forced labor. So in this novel, like, the robots were the inherent slaves. And so it seems like maybe there will never be total consent with these, you know, machine oriented beings. I mean, if we think about, say, Battlestar Galactica, mm-hmm. once the Cylons, that specific kind of robot, got consent and free choice and agency, that's when they started, like, you know, turning on the humans. Mm. That's scary. They're gonna like look over all of the like history of early robotics and be like, those humans were abusing us. Why would we wanna consent to them?
Yeah. There's a lot of media examples. That's one of the things we talked about, like The Matrix is the idea that you're stuck in this world created by the robot overlords and like you're supplying. Well, actually, I think in some levels that one didn't really make sense, that you're supplying the energy for computers. So I feel like there's another more efficient way to get energy, but the concept still runs true. And another one would be Blade Runner, you know, like the replicants. Who's the real replicants? Do we ever really know? Some theorists think they do, but yeah, no, it's like it gets to the point where that, you know, even robots start to wonder, like, am I real? And then, like, you know, the truth and can be hidden from them. It's like so tricky to know, like, what's the reality that exists there.
So, like, robots in our current life, would we consider, say, like a thermostat, is that a robot? You know, like, are we already at the point where robots are doing these things for
well,
us?
I mean, I guess like,
if it's controlled by
it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Because we have systems now where our lights, our heating, I mean, all these elements can be controlled through Google, right? Or remotely, mm-hmm. or through some sort of a sensing network. So maybe not the thermostat itself, but the will behind the thermostat, perhaps, you know, depending on how we end up thinking of the, if we end up thinking of these as complex neural networks at some point, you know, it's not outside of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
A scary example I was thinking about was came up recently with the stock market. And it turns out, you know, with the dip that happened last week, it was like
also today,
like 2/3 of the market trading is just AI, you know, which is
wow.
crazy.
So, oh yeah, I heard that the what's that called? Like the Dow? No, like that. What's the top 30 is called? Is that the Dow?
Nasdaq.
Something like
one
that.
Of those things.
Yeah, like they don't even have stock traders inside the New York Stock Exchange anymore. Like they don't have that many in there. It's like, what? I thought that was supposed to be. I don't know. I watched The Wolf on Wall Street. I thought I knew everything about it.
Yeah. All right. Well. Might be time to put a button on it, but any kind of parting thoughts or anything that you want to leave listeners with, take-home messages from your experiences?
Yeah, I think the biggest learning point from this report that I worked on was to see how ideas are reflected in the media and how we reflect our technology and making sure that it's... you know, respectful to everyone, just keeping that in mind about what identity you're projecting onto, you know, the robots in your life and how you treat them.
Sounds good. Be kind to your robots.
And be kind to people.
And be kind to every, yeah. Live consciously.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. We're going to wrap it up.
Kai, do you want to mention when or if and when this recording of your show will be available to listeners who were piqued by this idea of techno-orientalism?
So piqued, yes. I can put that online Monday morning for you.
So check the PNM page and you will see Kai's, you will listen to Kai's audio recording.
All right. Sounds good. Looking forward to it. All right. Thank you, everybody. And we will see you same time next week.